Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT, and this is the Bergen County Aries Net Amateur Radio Emergency Service that is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.835. The 2-meter repeater, Venture Crew 7373, located in Pearl River, New York, but largely serving northern New Jersey, in particular Bergen County. The purpose of this net is to have a dialogue regarding training opportunities, operational opportunities, hints and kinks, and technical suggestions on operational methods and procedures, and also equipment that might be useful. It is followed by the Bergen Amateur Radio Association TechNet, and if we want to deep dive in anything, either operationally or technical nature, we can always bring it up there as well, and we have other distribution groups for that as well. All are invited to participate in this net. You need to simply be a licensed amateur radio operator with 2-meter privileges. And unlike most Aries nets, however, this is generally not a traffic net, although we will accept traffic if offered and do our best to deliver it or relay it as needed. If everybody had a reasonable day in the snow, and maybe some people made some weather reports along the way. So, with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha, please call W2TTT.
W2TTT. This is Alpha Lima Zero Yankee, ORS, and Pasay County DEC.
All right, thank you, Ali. Do we have any other stations with Alpha? All right, very good. Any other stations with the letter Kilo?
WTTT. This is KD2BKD, Bob in Park Ridge.
Good evening, Robert. And I trust all is well with you. All righty, any other Kilos? Okay, are there any November stations?
November 2, Kilo Alpha Bravo. Sima, Wayne, New Jersey.
November 2, is it Kilo Alpha Bravo?
Affirmative.
Okay, very good. And your name again, ma'am?
Sima, Wayne, New Jersey.
I was just trying to get you to talk more, play with you a little bit. Very good. Thank you, Sheba. Nice to hear you on the air. All righty. It's very funny. I'm going to break with normal protocol and just stop and observe that I think all of us, when we start off, we key up exactly the amount of time we think we need to get the words out, and we unkey as quickly as possible because we're terrified. And Shiva, I think we've all been there, so don't you worry. No one's going to sit there and call you out. You're all good. Nicely done. Any other November stations? Alrighty. And finally, whiskey stations.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, no real traffic, over.
All right, Bob, welcome aboard. Hope all is well in Oradell. Any other whiskeys? Alrighty. Well, that recognizes AL0Y, KD2BKD, November 2, Kilo Alpha Bravo, Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo. Are there any stations, any call sign? Station? Was there another station wish to check in? Alrighty, well, welcome everyone. Just a couple of small points. I hope everybody had a fine and safe day, and everybody you knew did as well. Just want to point out that there was a Skywarn net, there were three actually, 10-1 and 4 on 146.70. I was down Route 17 in Woodridge, and I could not hear the repeater. So I was listening for the net because I wanted to check in at that time. I'm wondering if the 4 o'clock session actually occurred on the repeater at that time. I'm only asking because I saw George's net report suggesting that there were reports, so I was a little confused as to why I didn't hear 1070, 146.70. But in any case, I was wondering if anyone else had noted any coverage issues with the 7.0 machine at this time. Over.
Yeah, 0-1 comment.
Ali, go ahead.
Gordon, there was a net at 4 o'clock. That's the only net that I managed to check in, actually, from my QTH here, and had no problem hitting the repeater. Back to you. AL-0-1.
Yeah, okay, you're in Wayne. Anybody else?
This is KD2KLN, Brian in Belleville, New Jersey. I checked into that 4 p.m. Skywarn net and gave a snowfall report.
KD2KLN. Brian, welcome aboard. I have you as well in the net now. And thank you for participating in that. That's interesting. I'm trying to understand why I did not hear the net. But anyway, Brian, real quick, you're an I, Brian, not a Y, Brian, right?
Affirmative. I spell Brian with an I, last I checked. Although I can't remember how to spell my last name, that's a little bit complicated.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens. Your name is Abravonsky Shlominsky, you know, and that's not even hyphenated. All right, enough of that. Any other stations reporting regarding the Skywarn net? Okay, I'm just curious, are there any stations on this list, I mean on this net today, who are not receiving Ali's Passaic County emails? Okay, so everybody's getting them, so, alright, so, Ali, I may want to collaborate with you on that list, because I suspect that your list is... I can give you some emails to go with it, by the way. But I'm going to see what we can do to maybe shape, reshape, and organize your list so that it can be fragmented as needed, because I suspect you have a goodly number of Bergen people, albeit a smaller number of the day and beyond. But that's okay. It's all good. Any more regarding net activations, just keep in mind that the National Weather Service is one of our served agencies, and therefore, you know, that's why we have our own self-activations for things like that. When they put out the call, we'll do that, just like we would the Red Cross or Salvation Army or any other agency that required additional amateur radio support. We would certainly do that. I'm just curious, were there any other questions or comments about activations in general? Okay, well, I just want to say, Ali, it's a tribute to you and your maintenance of your list that you've managed to include people from Bergen and Essex counties, and everybody cheerfully receives your emails, so God bless you and thank you. On a shifting gear kind of note, Ali and WX2... UA, Joe Penska, is also a member of the Red Cross Amateur Radio Club, or ARC Squared. Mark Sakharov from William Patterson, some IT staff. We got a mast up on the roof, a better mast, and redeployed the mesh node up there, and made some improvements. That's the good news. So there's still more improvements to be made, both technically and also physically, in our where our positioning is. But the mesh node that's there is in a much better shape. The other thing, I was able to ascertain why we're not having any connectivity on 900 to Fairlawn, because it appears that the 900 meg node at Fairlawn is bricked. It's either bricked or not configured, we weren't sure. So I want to thank Ali and Joe and Mark for their able-bodied assistance getting that done on extremely short notice on Wednesday morning before we all went off to work by noon. So I want to thank everyone for that, because that will extend our ability to communicate via the mesh in both Bergen and Passaic counties. Any comments on that?
L0Y comments?
Or anybody else, go for it.
Gordon, first I would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to go there and actually help with raising that mat. So thank you for that, actually. And as far as thanking me in particular, I would like to just say you don't have to mention it. Seriously, it's no big deal. Thank you. AL0Y back to you.
Yeah, just one point I do want to make. What do you call it? We're all safety conscious, and Ali, I don't think this was. I think this might have been the first time you've been up on a building roof quite like that, and certainly in that kind of temperature, and with all the fun hazards that are there, ice, snow, trip hazards, all sorts of fun things. And you braved the ladder and did very well up there, did all kinds of work, so that was probably a growth opportunity, I sensed.
It definitely was. The weather wasn't really our friend that day, but anyway, we got the job done, which what matters. And then why back to you.
And I just want to point out that everybody really went through quite a... an exercise in getting it done sooner, faster, better. We literally we basically kicked off the what day are we going to do this at around noontime on Tuesday, as soon as everybody got back from the holiday, and we couldn't access the campus during the Christmas time. The campus is still essentially shut down, but not as hard as it is before New Year's. And so, because we were lifting a mass on the external side of the building, and we didn't want a lot of students around and have any issues with parking and logistics and such, so, and you can't walk the mass up through the stairwell, it just would not work. What went from a 2-minute job would have been an impossibility otherwise. So, we got that coordinated on Tuesday. With the options, because of weather, of either doing it Wednesday morning or Friday afternoon. And judging by today's weather, the extraordinary effort that each of us made to get that done on less than 24 hours' notice was a tribute to our flexibility and willingness to help. It also was a tribute to our individual skills and our collective ability to work together and get it done safely and efficiently. So, again, thank you all for doing that. Any other topics or anything else on this topic? Okay. Any other topics people would like to bring up at this time? Okay, I'm just going to issue a couple of reminders. Number one, the Fairlawn Club is meeting tomorrow night. I believe that is a business meeting. So, in fact, I know it's a business meeting. It's the first Friday of the month. And we'll have some time to talk over various things, but we were working on power adapters. I'll talk more about that next week. A rig runner with a single fuse so as to be more cost effective, and you can homebrew them easily. We'll talk about that and a little bit of here alone tomorrow. We'll also probably, there's a Barra meeting on Sunday at 7 o'clock at the Senior Citizen Center, the Senior Room at the Washington Township Borough Hall, or Township Hall, I should say. And doors open at, actually, the meeting starts at 7:30, but the people are welcome to come anytime before about anytime after 6:45. And so there's that going on. Also, Ham Radio University in Long Island is this Saturday. You can find references to it on the section website. And I would encourage you to do that. And, not the section website, it's from the Hudson Division website. Just Google Ham Radio University, you'll find it. And that will be a good thing. I think we have some available transportation for me to go. Because we have a lot of things going on in the household where I may not be able to tie up a car all day. And what else? I guess that's it. We have a bunch of topics for the TechNet tonight, so I'll look forward to seeing you all there. Any last things people want to talk about at this time? Okay, we will also be talking about some additional mesh activities on the TechNet, but that's not the only topic. We also have an HF radio topic and some power distribution stuff to talk about tonight, plus whatever else anybody else brings. So lots to go on. So, alrighty, last call for any comments or check-ins. DC2ORX, Robert, good evening. How are you, and what can we do for you?
Oh, I listened to your conversation tonight about that one repeater. Just remember, it's not where it was, not up as high as it was. I get it sometimes, I lose it, get it back. It's where it was put. It's not in the same light that it was that quarter, just remember.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware. By the way, the wind is howling outside. Like, you can't believe. I'm amazed. All right. Very good, Robert. I'll keep that in mind about 1070. But again, I want to thank you all for your participation in serving the community as you do. And look forward to seeing you next week, if not at the net in a few minutes. And there are some of the meetings coming up this weekend. 73 for now. This is WE2TTT, securing that and returning the frequency of normal amateur radio use.
WE2TTT from K2EIR.
Yes, Howie, how are you? K2EIR, WE2TTT.
Okay, sorry I missed the net. I couldn't get this handy talkie on the right tone. It's been so long I forgot how to do it, but I managed without the manual. So this is hooked up to the antenna I usually use, which is a mobile mount on my desk lamp here in my bedroom. This is now running on those purple cells. The voltage when I was receiving was 7.9 volts. I don't know why it wasn't higher, because it was charged a day or so ago. Let me just take a look while I'm transmitting. Okay, it's 5-point-something volts. Come on in. I'll take a picture and post it to the contact group. K2EIR.
Thank you, Howie. I've added you to the roster. It's fine. We're not that strong. I'm sure you were frustrated as you were listening. Anyway. Alrighty. Very, very good. All right, let me get prepared for the text. I've got a couple of things I got to pull up on the screen to make sure I'm squared away.
Roger, thank you. Again, I'll put up two photos of the cells in the holder, AA versus lithium, so it'll be there for the ComTech net. Thanks, K2EIR.
Okie doke, K2EIR, WE2TT, that's great. All right, we'll talk about it in another 10 minutes or so, 5 minutes, whatever. All right, K2EIR, WE2TT.
NJ2BS, repeat.
and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Tactical Net. This net is run weekly on a frequency 146, 835 megahertz. The 2-meter repeater of the Venture Cruise 7373 Amateur Radio Club. The repeater is located in Pearl River, New York. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. As I always like to say, that's a good answer. All right, well, we've had a really interesting day, and I'm sure we've all had a blessed and wonderful Christmas holiday. I had some challenges around here. A teammate of my son's met an unfortunate demise, but other than that, it's been a pretty happy Christmas and New Year's period, and I hope the same is for you and your family. All right, the purpose of this net is to have a conversation about amateur radio, about computers, electronics, telecommunications, and the like, and of course, how we use our hobby, the underlying sciences, etc., and of course, operational techniques, and just for good measure, you can have a swap and shop for sale, wanted, whatever you want. Kind of opportunity as well. We do like stations who don't have any of those things on their minds, either asking a question or making a comment or any of those other topics of trading or buying or selling, as it were, to please check in anyway so that we know who the audience is. It's hard to tailor the net to be something that would be interesting to you if we don't know who the you are. So please check in and just indicate your name and call sign and location if you're new, and say none of the above. That's just fine. So, we check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sales offer, wanted item. So, combination of those things, none of the above. And we do this by call sign group. I like to do the call signs one at a time. I apologize for that modest inconvenience, but, you know, I'm only one human being and, you know, not using a headset or a foot switch or anything fancy like that. So let's just keep this simple. So stations whose call signs begin with the letter alpha, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR. That's Alpha Lima Zero Yankee.
Okay, Alpha, what are your intentions? None of the above?
Nothing for now. I'll just monitor, and if something comes up, I'll comment.
Okie dokie. We certainly have some mesh stuff to talk about. We have some other things to talk about, too. I'll just say this up front, just in case I want to whet people's whistles. We have some mesh topics. We have some, what else? We have a topic on small power systems, power distributions. Comment or two on that. I think it's going to be Howie, K2AR, and myself, although others are welcome to chime in. And I think we also have a thing about the microbitics, 10-watt transceiver kit, HF transceiver kit for under $9. That'll get your attention. So we have lots of cool things to talk about tonight. Alrighty, so let's see. Any other alphas? Okay, kilos. I guess we are kiloless. Okay. November. Wowie, kazowie, bozo. Okay, and let's try for whiskeys.
This is W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Don, I got you with a comment. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Alpha 2 in the Sierra Echo, I'll comment.
Welcome aboard, Bob. I got you with a comment as well. Any other whiskeys? Okay, anybody, any calls?
K2EIR.
Hawaii. Go ahead. What are your intentions?
One or two comments, and I can't stay too long, I promise, to the family. How about that? K2EIR.
Yeah, I guess you want to talk about that power stuff, and that's excellent. Okay, so I got you down for that and whatever else. That's fine. We'll get to you right after dawn. Bob, that's something really, really short, which I suspect not. But that's okay. All right. Anybody else? Any call sign? All right, Don, it's your ball at W2JK, K2BAR.
All right, K2BAR, and then that W2JK, good evening, everybody. Well, next Barra VE test session will be on Friday, January 19th. Friday, January 19th. That's at the Senior Center in the Township of Washington at 350 Hudson Avenue. And the time will be 7 p.m. And again, 350 Hudson Avenue, 7 p.m. at the Senior Center. That's where we'll be having our test session, January 19th, which is a Friday night. If you're coming, you need a test fee of $15, an ID, like a driver's license or a passport with a photo on it or some other type of ID. And if you are coming, you will need your... don't have a license yet, you're going to need your social security number, and you will need your email address now, because this is how you're going to get your license. The FCC will email you your license and you will print it out. If you want to bring a calculator, that's fine. It has to be a calculator. Memory must be empty, and other devices such as cell phones, etc., cannot be used. I think that's about all. Back to that W2JEK.
Alrighty. Well, that's very helpful. Anybody have any comments or questions for Don? Don, you have that special session, right?
Yeah, that's booked up special. That's something else. That's something else again that I'm running. But I'm not advertising that. It's not one of our regular Fire of the E sessions, over.
Right, will you accept others to come in that night?
Not certain about that, because this is a special group, and I don't want to come along and find a ton of people, if you know what I'm saying. And I want to get these people in and out real quick if I can. This is also a kit night, by the way. So, I don't know, they're not interested. I got about five people coming for this one already.
Understood. Okay. I wasn't sure. I had heard about that on Tuesday night, and I wasn't sure what you wanted to do, but that's fine. Alrighty. Anybody else have any questions for Don? Don, you have any more you want to add?
Nothing at this time, Gordon. Just trying to keep warm. Back to you, W2JK. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you, Don. What's interesting, because of all the blowing snow, my house is much warmer than it's been for the last couple of days, because the air can't get in the crooks and crannies of the foundation. despite the amazing amount of money I spent on sealing this house up, we still have drafts. Oh, my God. Anyway. But it's better than it was before, but still, it's truly amazing. Alrighty, anybody else want to check into the net this time? Okay, Howie, K2EIR, your ball, K2EIR.
Here is K2EIR, very good, let me just see. Yes, I've got output. All right, so everybody, I'm on my handy talkie with the mobile antenna I usually use here in the apartment. I am operating on two lithium batteries, which are known as 14500, the size. They're the size of AA batteries, and they're in the AA cell holder of that comes with the VX5 or as an accessory that I've had for years. These are the purple cells, if you're following the Comtech group. I have posted photographs. I had trouble getting them uploaded to the photo section, so I hope actually they're now in a reply on the thread about purple batteries, so you can see it for yourself. I am presently operating at the 1-watt level. I have been operating previously this evening at the 5-watt level. From what I can see, this is, I have no experience yet cycling these things. This is the first cycle on these batteries. From what I can see, let me just take a peek. Yeah, I'm down to 6.0 volts on transmit. There is voltage drop. It comes back up. It comes up to about 7.8 volts. When it's first charged, it's up there at 8.2. So, so far my experience is there's more voltage drop in operation than with a regular pack. The big advantage of using these cells is they're cheap. They're about a dollar a piece. So I have $2 worth of batteries in here. That's a lot cheaper than the typical lithium packs you buy for it. And it comes with a charger. That's the whole story. I will stand by for comments that I'm going to disappear because I have to keep a promise to the family, Gordon. W2TTT from K2EIR.
Sure, Howie. You said that you uploaded the pictures. Now, I'm using a web browser, which I don't normally use to view my mail, and it's blocking the pictures. Were you able to review the pictures and see them once you posted them?
Negative, there wasn't time. If you want to let me break in, I'll run into the other room and see if I can find it and come back and tell you yay or nay.
I can. Well, I'll just go to another platform and do it. No problem. I think also AK2F has had success with those batteries in an FT817. So, yeah, they're how many ampere hours apiece?
They're labeled at 2,300 milliamp hours. That's 2.3 amp hours. Bruce, who's often on this net, has told me I should not believe how they're marked, and he may very well be right. That's why I need experience. But as far as I know, the cells are what they say, 2.3 amp hours, and you can get them in various ratings.
Yeah, but the 2.3s are AA battery size. So what Woody did in his FT817, he created a dummy cell using a carbon battery, strapped it, you know, basically made a jumper across it. And so he only used three batteries, and that allowed the internal charger of the radio to actually properly charge the lithium ion batteries without negative effect. In other words, they didn't overcharge. So that was very heartwarming. Now, after a charge, a full charge, without any load on them, what voltage do they exhibit?
Well, I can't say no load because I didn't put a voltmeter on it. I just put it into the VX5, which will draw something and receive. And variously, when I started tonight, it was 8.0, but when I first got them, I charged them, and it was 8.2.
Okay, so three of them would be 12.6, which is why he was able to get a charger to kick in when it was lower than that. Okay, that makes perfect sense. And why it's not overcharging his batteries in the FT817. There he uses three. In your case, in your VX6, I guess you're using a pair of cells, correct?
That is correct. And that I've tried charging it through the HT, and as far as I can tell, it does not charge. There must be something about that holder that it doesn't allow it, such as the diode.
Yeah, that very well could be. All right. Well, but still. You know, even if you have to use an external charger, you can charge an awful lot of lithium batteries. They don't weigh a lot, and you could just drop them in pairs. You can even label them in pairs, label them 1, 2, three, four, et cetera, in pairs. And that way you always use the same two batteries together. The other thing you could do if you want something simpler is to put stripes on them. So one stripe on the first two batteries, two stripes on the second two batteries, three stripes on the next three, the next two, et cetera. And that way they go as sets. The randomization of how you place them would essentially keep them in relative balance.
Roger. Again, just as you say, the thing is, these cells are so cheap, you certainly could buy a lot of them, and they're so lightweight, it's not a big deal to carry them around. It is just another alternative that adds flexibility in, for particularly emergency use.
Absolutely. And at 2 ampere hours, you can run some rather impressive radios at that level. If you weren't really worried about long-term cell balancing, you could even solder them together as long as you're quick about it. And you could build yourself a mighty fine pack. That would be pretty awesome, and you'd be able to run a 10 or even a 25 or 50 watt radio for some period of time without too much trouble. Obviously, if you run 25 or 50 watts, you got to keep your transmit periods down. But it would, you know, with 20 cells, you could, you know, have yourself a 10 ampere hour pack. Well, I'm sorry, scratch that, 30 cells. You have a 10 ampere hour pack. But, anyway, very good. Just a side note, former Governor Brendan Byrne of New Jersey passed away. He gave us the income tax. Just thought I'd mention it.
Okay, I'm going to bow out with your permission, Gordon. Voltage on receive now is down to 7.5 volts. So at least on an initial cycling, these batteries do run down a lot faster. I've been operating at the 1-watt level for this net. But, you know, here's a demonstration, and I'll try to make sure the pictures get up one way or the other. For some reason, I was having difficulty. So sooner or later, everybody can see it. In the meantime, they should look for that thread, because hopefully the pictures are already in there as a reply to one of the messages about the charger. Okay, thank you for letting me do my show and tell. W2ATT from K2EIR on the Handy Talkie.
No, that's who I work for. I actually have W2TTT. But anyway, thank you, Howie. God bless, and appreciate it. We'll just make sure that those pictures are up there. If not, we'll shoot you a note back and figure out what we need to do to change the permissions on the site. But I don't know if it's my viewer or the website that's causing this grief. But it didn't used to do that. So it may be because of what I'm using in the way of a web browser. All right. Well, thank you very much. Anybody have any comments on what Howie mentioned regarding the use of these purple cells, these lithium-ion cells?
NJ2BS. Repeat.
W2JEK.
Okay, Don.
Now you mentioned the fellow using a dummy battery, using a defect, a dead AA battery. This is a dummy battery. One thing that fits in there is a 15 ampere cartridge fuse of the same length, and I got it for a very good price. You know what I'm saying? I used to use them a lot in certain circuits that I used to work on. Back to that, W2JEK.
As you were describing it, I said, yeah, the LCA Western Electric on it. Oh, my. Yeah, absolutely. 15 amp cartridge fuse is the same size. That's actually better and would offer a nominal amount of protection should something really go wrong. That's a great idea. I like that. That is super. So related to this, as I mentioned, Woody, AK2F, brought used three of those cells in his FT-817 and was made a few contacts with it. He's very happy with it. So, you know, two guys who've used these cells to some degree of success. I don't think anyone's tried to burn them down to the point where they require a recharge and gotten a sense for what kind of operational characteristics will deplete the battery sufficiently to, get you to put them on charger again. So that is something we need to look into some more. But even if you don't get the full 2,300 milliampere hours, say you get 1.5 for a dollar, who cares? You just put it in the charger and throw it up again. And I will say this, Howie in particular uses an external cell charger for his batteries. Woody can, as I said, use the internal one on the radio, as well as external chargers. Anybody else have any more on these lithium cells?
So what is the output voltage on one of these cells, over?
They are rated for 3.7, but as he pointed out, you get a little over 4 volts initially, then they stabilize at 4 volts, and they kind of operate most of their life at 3.7 until they, shut down.
Yeah, okay, so I've got four of them. I'm using the ASIL here. I do have a AA battery adapter for AA batteries, so I don't want to be beholden to the battery that came with the radio, but I could put a couple of 15-amp fuses in there and about, I guess, four of those. This thing will run on 12 volts, so I guess I can put four of those cells in there and have it to operate that way with a couple dummy fuses in there to make continuity. That would be a way to do things. Back to that. W2JK.
Yeah, if the radio is rated for 12 volts, Don, I would not put more than 3 in there. Unless you know that it'll be happy to run above 16 volts, because that's what's going to happen to 4 batteries.
No, that's right. 4 density is 12. Yeah, that's right. 12 point something is what the screen says when they turn the radio on. And I'm using a power supply that has a cigarette lighter adapter on it that puts out 12.5 or 13 volts or whatever.
Okay, very good. What kind of radio is it?
FT-60, Fox Tango 60.
Yeah, so you want to use, I think, in the 60. Their battery adapter has room for 3 or 4 cells.
I think it's 6. I think it's 6 cells, Clint.
It's assuming a volt and a half a piece. Yeah, so you only want to run probably 3 in there. I think bad things will happen above that.
Yeah, no, not worth it. I get my money's worth out of it. You get another set of, get a second set of batteries at 3 that way too. Yeah. Yeah. Well, one thing about this radio, you can't charge it with the cord that's in the power jack. You have to use this has a desktop thing. You have to sit the radio with its battery into the charging device.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I'd recommend that for this, because Lord knows what voltage you're hitting it with. You'd be very careful doing that. And even if you do it, just be careful for how long you do it. One thing Woody did that I can mention is that he at one point used 3 lithium batteries and 1 nickel metal hydride, and that gave more of a standard 1.5 volt output, so he had no problem. They all had roughly the same ampere hour rating. He just stuck them in series in the way he went. So he actually mixed battery chemistries in order to come up with a voltage pack, or back voltage, that met his needs.
You know, I really don't use it that much. I have the one thing. I got the adapter here that has a cigarette lighter plug. It plugs into a power supply. I can use it in the car. And also, because I don't want to be beholden to the battery that takes a couple hours to charge, I got the AA battery adapter for it. Anyway, back to that. W2JK.
Sure, that's a great idea.
Okay.
Anybody else have anything on this topic? Okay, any other check-ins for the net? All right, before we go to any other topics, let's go to Bob's question or comment. WA2ISC, K2BAR.
K2BAR, WA2ISC. I checked my nose and I still don't seem to be getting connectivity to anything not from William Patterson, though from time to time I notice they do drive by. Over.
Yep, absolutely. So I was in a conversation the other day with N2GMR, lives down the street from, well, I think he lives down the street from Jim, but he's certainly a little further away in a little higher spot to the south, and on that ridge in Paramus, and that may be something else to work. So I think if we get Jim interested in putting up a node, and get N2GMR interested in getting a node, you guys among yourselves should have some connectivity, and I would think from either Jim or N2GMR, we would be able to get to Fairlawn finally, bridging the little rock crest that's in to the east of Route 17.
Okay, Gordon. I have an extra 900 megahertz node that's never been flashed yet, if that might help some.
Yeah, so why don't you do this? Why don't you reach out to Jim, W2ISC, and say you're willing to flash it, and if he's willing to have it, then we'll get it up on a mast at his place. If he's got a mast or a tower, we can put it on, that's great. If he doesn't, we'll see what about we can do to get him one.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay, I can flash it easy enough. I gotta see what I did with its power supply. Or it doesn't, I could always hook up another kind of power supply that could power the thing over the power over the ether, that over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but if you need one of the PoE injectors, the original ones, we can probably find you one. It's not a big deal. They're always kicking around, 24-volt DC. But yeah, as you pointed out many times, going from your place to Jim's shouldn't be much of a problem, and starting at 900 would be a good opportunity. If that works, then maybe we can try 2.4 and then swing his 900 toward Fairlawn if he's got a view, or toward N2GMR if he's so inclined. We are making some other improvements. The site at Garrett Mountain, that's what I'm loving to refer to as W2TTT Omni, which is an M2 rocket, is going to be relocated when we get a little bit of a break in the weather. We're going to build a bracket and move it to the north side of the building, and that will give us 10 feet more of elevation. We're also going to add another 10 feet of masting to it, which will give us a further 10 feet, and that will give us a lot of clearance, and at that point we're going to add a couple other bands, probably add 5 gig and 900 up there as well. That's in the central part of Garrett Mountain, and then we'll continue to work on the William Patterson site in parallel with that. That's stuff we can do during the winter. We don't have to wait till spring when it becomes nice and warm and we can do neat and creative things, but we've got two other sites in mind along that ridgeline. One on Oldham Road at the OEM, the Passaic County, which will feed into Bergen very nicely. And the other is in the public safety tower that overlooks Route 80, where NJ2PC is. We're hoping to get in there as well. And we've made some advances for that. So there's lots of good things happening. Anything else on this topic from anybody? Okay, just one other further note, and that is that apparently both the 5 gig and the 900 gig, meg node at Fairlawn are not working. Only the 2 gig is for whatever reason, and per W2IP, we're going to have to look into what we can do to help them to fix that. I sent Paul a note documented that I'd be more than happy to help out with that. Certainly go up on the roof of your lawn and take care of pulling stuff down and, you know, bringing it down on the bench, getting it fixed up, and then running it back up. It should not be a big deal. Plus, we can always swap out other gear, which we have among us. The other thing I should point out is that at William Patterson, we have a noise problem. So while Fairlawn has no problem communicating with the site, people like Dave at 3DOSK, who's actually closer and got an excellent shot at the site, for whatever reason, on 2.4, seemingly has a ridiculously poor link quality in one direction. We don't know why. To that end, Mark Sakharov, who's our contact up there, and I are going to go up there with a spectrum receiver and take a look and sniff around a bit and see what we can come up with.
Okay, Gordon. What was the guy's call sign that that you were hoping to hook up a link to connect to me? Over.
There are two, and I've discussed the first with Jim, W2JC, Jim Cooper, who lives up the top of the hill from you, and the other one would be N2GMR, Dennis, who runs he's got a 45-foot tower, if I remember right, along on that ridge to the south of Jim in Paramus, further south there, and a bit higher. So, first things first, I would work with Jim because I've only mentioned it casually to Dennis, and he said, yeah, we can talk about putting stuff on the tower, but, you know, again, putting something up at Jim's house would be a lot easier and possibly more satisfactory, especially at this time of year where we know we don't have any foliage problems. So let's start with that and see if we get you hooked up with anybody on the air.
Okay, Gordon, K2BAR, W82ISE. I guess let's see if you can scare up a power Ethernet power supply. I got something else that I'm using here, but I have to keep it for other things. So you can find one of those that would be good for this 900 megahertz node. Anyway, K2BIR, W82IC.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a matter of a PoE ejector, it's easy. If you need a PoE ejector with a power supply, well, maybe a little harder, but nothing major. But I'd like to give him the advantage of running at least 13 or 14 volts, because there's a lot of voltage drop potentially through that wire. I like to run my PoEs at 14 or 15 volts if I'm going to run long wire, and if it's a really long wire, then I like to use the 24 volt ones or a boost regulator to get up there to that level. All right, but reach out to Jim in the meantime and find out, you know, what his available hole, you know, poles are, roof mounts, etc. And if we need to come up with a pole for him or some sort of antenna that would have a shot to you, some sort of line of sight shot, I'm sure we can drill up, we can bring up something here. We have, you know, an odd tower section. We have or two that we can always use. We certainly have some mass things, so it's not a big deal. We can do this without turning it into a circus.
Okay, Gordon, I also have a bunch of used electrical conduit, though I don't know how well that stuff stands to the outside weather. Anyway, I'll see what I can do with the node here.
Yeah, no problem, but we're glad to help with masting and things like that, and I'll look around for a power supply. But why don't you reach out to him, tell him we spoke, and, you know, I've discussed it with him previously, but, you know, that way we can bridge his computers to your computers, and then, you know, you already have tunnels, so you don't have to do that necessarily and all that nonsense. So start building a mesh of some sort.
Okay. Yeah, I could even plug in his call sign, but of course I have to talk to him first anyway. All right. So, Gordon, K2BAR, W82IC.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, I mean, something simple like the, you know, W2JC hyphen home hyphen whatever the node type is. You know, that's what I use for, you know, some sort of ID. And but whatever works for y'all. And then from there, We should be able to reach Dennis without any problem. Dennis is literally right down the ridge from him, and that shouldn't be too painful. Worst case is, you know, if we find out that we need 900 to get down to him, then but 2.4 works between you and Jim, we can swing the 900 around and get a 2.4 for Jim and go from there. And Jim may want to, you know, make some investments here too, but just as a proof of concept, we can supply him some gear to get him started. All right, very good, and thank you. Any other check-ins for the net, or any more on this topic for us, sorry?
NJ2BS, repeat.
Alrighty, any more check-ins for the net? Okay, so a couple of other things have been going on. I've been making, in fact, on Friday night, we had Zach, KC2RSS, and I remember who, John, was it KD2, and actually he got a new call, I forget what John's new call is. But anyway, he got a new call, John Wood, and some other people, all engaged in building some power pole distribution kind of thing. So my argument has been that to use a rig runner for a bunch of, half amp, 1 amp, 2 amp kind of devices means that you're tying up a power pole port for essentially about $8 on a rig runner, because if you take the number of ports on a rig runner and divide it by the cost by the number of ports, you know, ports minus one actually, because this one's got to be a source, you find yourself spending about $8 or more per port. And, you know, for small low current devices, that's not very cost efficient. But you want to have a fused connection. So what I came up with is a simple block where you take some number 12 wire, you know, house wiring and 3-inch pieces. You crimp them down in your rig runner pins. I mean, your inner power pole pins. You put them in into connector form in pairs. And now you've got a bunch of pairs properly aligned, red, black. And then you have, you lock the pairs together, because they will slide together, and that'll allow you to make, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it is, pairs in a row for low current devices, you know, reasonably low current devices. And then you take a single pair at the end, and, you know, a pigtail with a fuse, and you put a nominally acceptable fuse of, say, 5 amps, 8 amps, 10 amps, whatever, something reasonably small, so that no one wire or no one thing should be short, you know, wouldn't be capable of popping the single fuse, but in everyday use, they would in no way pop that single fuse. So, you know, for a few cents per pair, you could build this connector block, and so for, let's say, less than about, you know, $5 or $10, depending on how many, well, $5 or $6, I guess it is, you can make up yourself a 5-to-1 distribution for power poles, have it perfectly fused, and it'll work just fine, busting all the connections together. So we did that, and we finished that work over at Baron Kidnight on Tuesday in Washington Township. And they work famously well. It works really, really nicely. I've done this before, and I've sealed the back of these things by wrapping, basically making a trough on the back where the wires are. I wrap it in painter's tape, blue painter's tape or masking tape, and then I just dump in there a bunch of silicone to RTV and cure it with either a hair dryer or just put it in the oven or whatever. At like 110, 120 degrees or 30 degrees, or just leave it out for a day or two. It'll cure up just fine. I've also done it not with the pigtail, but with hard wire connections. I've done the same thing with